James chapter 1, we'll begin reading verse number 13. Boy, I've enjoyed studying these things out. Folks, what I'm going to teach you tonight, I promise you, is so important. I want you to hear your preacher. I want you to listen to me. I wanted to give you some wisdom. I want you to give you some awareness. And I don't want you to just use this on everybody else. That's kind of our first go-to when we learn something. The most important person that every single one of us need to keep under the microscope is ourselves. Okay, and before you become authority on trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody else, you might want to take a real hard look in the mirror. And what you'll probably find out is what Jerry Ross has found out, that that's pretty much a full-time job keeping that guy straight. But I'm gonna teach you something that's so important here. I'll be honest with you. I've heard thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of messages in my life. I've never heard anybody preach on the phrase, the verse that I'm gonna point you to here, and I want you to really think about it, okay? James chapter number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Verse number 13. The Bible says this: let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the things that you helped me with in the study and preparation of this message. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us, each and every one of us, Lord. And God, I know the pull of the world. And I know, dear God, the subtlety and deceitfulness of the devil. And Lord, I know the long-term consequences of sin. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd insulate us from these three things from what we learned tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. James chapter 1 tells us some things about the Lord that it would be good for us to be reminded of. And so look, if you will, first of all, in verse number 5. The Bible teaches us here that God is the source of all wisdom. Now think about that. If any of you lack wisdom, let him get on the internet and ask a question on a chat room somewhere. Well, why don't we just ask AI? Yes, AI has the answer to all things. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask who? Of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, folks, you go to the book of Proverbs. We'll get into it a little deeper later. But you'll find that there's wisdom, the wise man. There's the simple man. There's the foolish man. Now, God is wise. Let me say that again. God is wise. Okay, so stay with me here. Watch this. Now, by the way, in his dedication to wisdom, in his commitment to wisdom, there is no variableness. There is no variableness. What does that mean? That doesn't mean he's wise 80% of the time and foolish 20% of the time. Doesn't mean he's wise 90% of the time and foolish 10% of the time. Doesn't mean he's wise 99.9% of the time and foolish 0.1%. No, God never varies from being wise. All right, never varies from it. Look, if you will, in verse number 13 here. What does it say about God? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God is the source of all wisdom, and God refuses in any way to be associated with evil or with darkness. Look at verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of what? All right, so folks, listen, let's just establish something. God in no way will ever be associated, will allow himself to be associated with evil or with darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that, listen to me, 80% of the time God is light, and then 20% of the time he's darkness. It doesn't mean that 90% of the time, and then he's light, and then 10%. It doesn't mean 99.9% of the time that he's light, and then there's that 0.1%. There is no variableness when it comes to his commitment to being light and right. Okay, so his righteousness he's committed to, no variableness. His association with light, no variableness. Okay, so we see that in verse number 13. Now, if you will, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, by his own will begat he us with the what? Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God is truth and defines truth through his word. I want you to understand this. God is 100% committed to the truth. It's impossible, the Bible says, for God to... It's impossible. Which do I need to go through it again? Which means that it's impossible for him, come on, almost to suggest this is blasphemous to say, well, God's 80% of the time committed to the truth and 20% of the time committed to, allows a line, or the 90-10, or the 99.9 and the 0.1. No, God, in this area, folks, of truth, and God defining truth, how? Not by what the culture says, not by taking a poll in the church and even see what Christians think is right or not. God defines truth 100% through his word. And there's no variableness there. Okay, I'll be honest with you folks, I want to live a wise life, but there might be variableness that you'll find in my life. I don't want there to be. I don't wish for that. And I don't want to even sound like I'm making an excuse. I want to be committed to it. I don't want to ever lower the bar. But the problem is we're all sinful. And we none of us can, but listen, this whole matter of godliness, think about that term, godliness. Preacher, am I becoming more godly or am I becoming more worldly? Well, one of the things that I think is a measuring stick is how much variableness is there in our lives when it comes to a commitment to biblical wisdom. How much variableness is there in our life when it comes to this matter of righteousness and light? And how much variableness is it when it comes to our commitment to the truth and letting the word of God define the truth? This is still a Bible-believing church, isn't it? All right, I know I've been gone a few services, so I thought I'd check when I got back here. We haven't changed that, I don't think. I want to pastor a church that has a commitment to the Bible. I want to pastor a church that says, preacher, listen, if there's this supposed wisdom and then it's in conflict with this printed wisdom, then this truly is wisdom and that's foolishness. And folks, listen, what we've got to do in our Christian life is try to be as much like God as possible, to be godly, to seek after godliness. And listen, I know we can't live perfect, but man, we can live consistently. And you know, the honest truth is the more we grow in grace, the less variableness there should be to the things that God is committed to. Now, having said all of that, folks, think about this. I've been in the ministry now, I mean, for over four decades. I've seen a lot of, listen to me, once wise Christians turn away from wisdom to foolishness. Okay, they didn't learn that from God. Look right up here. They didn't learn that from, it wasn't the Lord that led them to do that. I've seen way too many separated and saved, born again children of God turn away from holiness, righteousness and light towards evil and darkness, and even try to use parts of the Bible to justify their shift in that direction. I've sadly seen more than a few preachers and pastors, boy, that breaks my heart to say this, turn away from the truth of God's word towards false tenets of worldliness and even wickedness. And sadly, we live in a time of Christian compromise. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't seen and witnessed your own self. More and more Christians have joined the ranks of a Demas and even sadly, a Judas Iscariot by turning from the Savior to embrace and emulate the world as predicted by the Bible. And I can take you to these verses. There are more and more of our brothers. I'm telling you just facts. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you it's facts. More and more of our brothers and sisters in Christ, I mean people that are truly born again, are, the Bible phrase is, falling away, choosing to believe seducing spirits instead of the Holy Spirit, and buying into doctrines of devils instead of standing firm on the sacred and safe doctrines of our King James Holy Bible. Now, folks, I've just not seen this in individuals. Sadly, I've seen this in churches. I've seen churches who at one time sang only the tried and true hymns and gospel songs drift over into contemporary Christian music and even allowed rock music and rap music. You say, preacher, you mean Christian rock? No, if it's rock, it's not Christian. If it's Christian, it's not rock. Even someone bringing rap music in, you mean Christian rap? No, if it's Christian, it's not rap. And if it's rap, it's not Christian. All right. But sadly, I've watched it. I've seen it. I mean, I'm talking about 10 years ago walking a church that was hardly any different than attending Blessed Old Baptist Church, and now walking into a church where it's just absolutely a worldly, wicked mess. I've watched Christians trade in their strong scriptural stand against booze and become wine sippers and beer slurpers and even get on the internet and try to defend the changes that they've made. I've witnessed husbands and wives who were once committed to each other trade in their Christian marriage for an adulterous affair and a perverted lifestyle. I mean, folks, I could tell you horror stories. I preached for a man two times, pastored a church in Minnesota, preached for him two different times, and then hadn't seen him or his family for several years, went to a youth conference. His teenage kids were there. I went over and talked to them and greeted them, and then I asked about the parents, and they kind of got quiet. And then I saw the wife, and she saw me talking to them. So when they left, she kind of made a beeline over. And now get this. Preached for this man two different times. Been in his church. Knew his family. And she said, Pastor Ross, you probably didn't hear. And by the way, I think people just assume that if everybody knows, Jerry Ross knows. Can I make a public announcement? I am the last one in America to know anything. And I'm very glad for that. Okay, I'm not in the gossip circle. I'm happily ignorant of everything that you think I know, okay? I mean, if somebody hadn't come up and told me, I don't know. And she said, my husband ended up leaving me, ended up leaving the kids, ended up leaving the ministry. And for several years, it came out that he had a homosexual relationship and wanted to bring that into our home and into the marriage. And obviously, some of you that just, you know, you're just stuck on this thing, you just can't believe what Jesus said about there is an exception to the divorce thing, except for fornication. That's fornication. Okay? So don't come to me and tell me that God, Jesus, there's no allowance in the Bible for divorce. He said, except it be for fornication. Because, sadly, God knew that mankind would end up in these type of situations. And so, you know what? Divorce is a horrible thing. Some of you are stuck now. You're all froze up on me, all right? Heaven forbid we might start believing the Bible. All right? I just love people that are stricter than Jesus. I appreciate that. This thing's hard enough to live by. Don't come add a bunch of more stuff to it, all right? But, you know, there's devilish situations, wicked situations, where as damaging as divorce is and as hard as it is on the kids, God said there are some things that are even more damaging than that. And it is better to separate yourself from that than have that influence in your home. And that certainly be, but I've watched this, okay? I've observed parents who are committed to raising their children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I mean, committed to it. And I watched them throw away biblical mandates and scriptural standards of separation. Come on, because Johnny or Susie turned 15 and decided they were no longer happy in a Bible preaching church. And throw it all away. I've seen Christian mothers throw away modesty and once godly fathers surrender to worldliness. And I've lived long enough, by the way, to see their children and even some of their grandchildren and see where they ended up. And by the way, I didn't get no pleasure out of this. This just breaks my heart. I love these people. I've watched their children spiritually and morally wrecked and ruined as a result of their decision. I've watched sound scriptural Bible preaching churches be turned into nothing more than worldly social clubs full of carnality and compromise. I've just lived long enough to see it. I've pretty much seen it all. Now, I don't want you to miss what I'm going to say next, because all that is to build up to give you this one truth that I want you to take home with you. Listen to what I'm going to say. Long before there is a turning, there is the shadow of turning. Let that soak in. Long before there is a turning, there is a shadow of turning. Now, when the Bible describes God, he said, you're not going to see God turn away from biblical wisdom. You're not going to see God turn away from righteousness and light. You're not going to see God turn away from truth and the Word of God. He's going to stand by it. Yes. And then he said this, wait a minute. It didn't just say he's not going to turn from it. It says this, in God you will never see even a shadow of turning. Amen. And we're talking about biblical shadows. Now think about that, folks. What are you saying, preacher? Listen to me. Before there is backsliding, there is the shadow of backsliding. Before there is compromise, there's the shadow of compromise. Hey, before a godly woman gives over to immodesty, there is the shadow of immodesty. Before the news comes out and a story like I have to tell in Minnesota happened, I promise you there was shadows of immorality before there was the immorality. Before you see the rebellion, there were shadows of rebellion. Before you see the adultery, there's shadows of adultery. Before you see the perversion, there's shadows of perversion. Before you see apostasy, you'll see shadows of apostasy. Before you see worldliness, you know what? You'll see shadows of worldliness. Before you see it, modernism and a preacher giving into modernism, you'll see shadows of it. You'll see shadows of it. I want to remind you of this, and thank you for that special song. One of the greatest attributes of our wonderful, faithful, trustworthy, holy, reliable, and eternal Heavenly Father is this. Not only is there no turning in Him, you will never see, never witness, never view, never watch, never be able to point out even a shadow of turning. Maybe that's what I needed when I was young in my life. Because sometimes I get my eyes too much on people, and there was a day when I got disillusioned because I looked too much at people. Right. And I don't want, by the way, I know we're all supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord, but you know what? The Bible says if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it's better for a millstone to be tied around your head and around your neck you'd be thrown into the sea. And would to God we had some Christian people that realize that it's more important for you to be an example than an exception. To be an example. And so, you know what? Early on when I got too influenced by that, too disillusioned by that, and I had to learn, you know what? Everybody's, come on, we're all made out of the same stuff, and we're all going to fall short. And that's why I got to say, folks, listen to me. Don't base your decision to live the Christian life by what Jerry Ross does or doesn't do. We all got to keep our eyes on Jesus. But having said that, good night. I don't want to see our young people see me turn away from the things that God won't turn away from. I don't want to trade in godly wisdom for worldly wisdom. I don't want to trade away biblical righteousness for the world's view of righteousness. I don't want to turn from light to darkness. I don't want to see any of our young people see Jerry Ross do that. I don't want to see have them see me turn away from what the Bible says and my commitment to the Bible to be the final authority on everything. And all of a sudden see Jerry Ross turn away from that. And next thing you know, I'm more worried about how many people agree with me on social media than I do whether or not I'm standing on the truth of God's word. But wait a minute, folks. Come on, time out. Wait a minute. We shouldn't only be careful that no one sees us turn away. We ought not to let anybody see, listen to me, a shadow of turning. Hey, preacher, we're setting the bar pretty high this morning. Yeah, or this evening. Yeah, and you know what? That's a good thing. Let's set it high. Amen. Well, preacher, I can't be as holy as God. I can't either, but I'm going to try the rest of the day, and I'm going to try tomorrow. Preacher, we can't always be like God. No, but we can. If we fail, we ought to fail in the trying. Yes, right. And so many times, folks, if we're not careful, long before we see the turning in somebody's life, come on now. That's why God talks about this biblical, come on, listen to me. I'm gonna blow the trumpets on some things tonight, all right? God offers us through the Holy Spirit the biblical attribute of discernment. Okay? And some of you, look right up here. I'm gonna try to save some of you. I'm gonna try to help some of you be in a pew, this same pew you're in, faithful to the same church you're in 6 months from now that are sitting here tonight. And there's some people that you're associating with that, well, they haven't turned. Can't you see the shadows? Can't you see the shadows? Okay? So stay with me here tonight. This is what that song said, great is thy faithfulness. Woo! Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not as thou hast been. Thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now, I mentioned this, but we're not God. And we'll never achieve his holiness, and we'll never achieve on this earth his faithfulness, and we'll never achieve on this earth his steadfastness and his godliness. But that does not give us an excuse from turning from what is right. That does not give us an excuse to wink at worldliness in our lives or settle for sinfulness. That does not give us an excuse to turn from separation and sanctification. And folks, listen to me. I'm not giving you this, even though I'm going to point out some things that will help you. I'm not giving this to you tonight mainly so that you can go and sit in the seat of judgment on everyone else. But some of us need to really look at our own personal lives and say, okay, maybe I haven't turned, but is there a shadow of turning in my life? Maybe my kids haven't seen us turn away from the truth, but have they seen the shadows? Maybe they haven't seen me and my wife turn away from separation, but have they seen the shadows? And maybe they haven't seen us turn away from following Christ and going back into the world, but Brother Nichols, you've seen it in your church out there, and I've seen it here all through the years. Before you ever seen a family go the wrong direction, you saw shadows, and your daddy saw the shadows. So think about that. You say, preacher, I want to do right, and I want to live right, and I don't think you'd be here on a Wednesday night if you didn't. Preacher, I want to live a godly life. I want to be faithful. I want to be a good testimony for a lost and dying world who needs to see Jesus in me. I want to be encouragement to the young people in this church. Let me help you. Let me help you. Before any Christian has ever turned away from what is right, he first begins to make excuses for the shadows of turning in his life. Now think about this. Here we saw in this first chapter that God is the source of all wisdom. Folks, there's never any variableness to him. Now think about what I'm talking about. In this chapter, these are the attributes that's pointed out about God. I think you're best served interpreting the Bible in the context it's written. Right. Listen, folks, do you understand that there is no variableness in this? In this matter of God's commitment to wisdom, godly wisdom, there's not even a shadow of turning towards foolishness. God is wise. He defines wisdom. He's the source of all wisdom. He's the giver of all wisdom. I mean, that's inarguable. God is righteous and God is light. Verse 13, verse 17, there's no variableness in this. There's no shadow of turning towards evil. There's no shadow of turning towards darkness. Boy, I want that to be the goal of all of us. God is truth and defines truth through his word, so there's no variableness in this. He's made a 100% commitment to his word. It's impossible for him to disobey his word or go against his word. There's no shadow of turning from the truths of the Bible. And so let's take that same standard and apply it to our lives tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Folks, listen to me. Never let there be a shadow of turning away from the godly, away from godly wisdom towards worldly or earthly wisdom. Right. Now think about this. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. Now, if we're not careful, we say we're committed to godly wisdom. And the next thing you know, by the way, I don't have time tonight to give you this study. We probably ought to teach through it again. But folks, listen, one of the main reasons for the book of Proverbs is to teach us wisdom. And the book of Proverbs very clearly lists the attributes of wisdom. And very clearly lists the attributes of foolishness. You say, well, preacher, I sure wish you'd just go ahead and tell us what they are. Well, I know a guy that wrote this book called The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. I'm not even going to ask how many of you in here have read The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, because I don't want to leave here in utter discouragement. You know, that'd be a good thing to start having family devotions with. Yeah. I had a Sunday school teacher years ago teaching our teenage class. And the teacher we had back then went down there and taught the teenage years of Jesus Christ. One Sunday, she taught out of the book, what are the attributes of the foolish person? The next week, you can just, by the way, book of Proverbs is very plain. You can identify a foolish person by how that he acts and by what he says. And I think there's seven of those attributes listed in the book, because I studied it and it's from the Bible. And if you disagree with it, I don't mind. But just bring your Bible when you disagree with it. I put my verses in there. Bring your verses with me. And so she spent a Sunday teaching on how fools act, and a next Sunday preaching on how fools talk. And a couple of our teenage girls went home mad and told their mom. She called us fools in class. So I thought I'd verify it. Hey, did you call anybody out by name? She said, no, all I did was just teach the attributes of how they act and what they say. And they got mad because she had called them fools. Well, let me just make this very clear. If you are doing what fools do and you are saying what fools say, you're a fool. I'm not even going to be as nice as the Sunday school teacher was. You know why? Because God's right. Because the Bible's true. Okay, he's not, listen. Well, most of these things I don't do. And most of these things I don't see. You know the couple that you do? Let me tell you what that's called. Shadows. Shadows. We better be aware of our shadows. We better be aware of our shadow of turning. Okay, because folks, listen to me. Everybody that's now was one time wise and now is a full-fledged fool begin to make excuses for one attribute of foolishness. And when you can defend one attribute of foolishness, you'll defend two attributes of foolishness. And when you want to defend one foolish way of speaking, you'll start defending another foolish way of speaking. Hey, watch out for the shadows of turning. We need to be 100% committed, folks, to this book. We're in James. Go over to James chapter 3. This is so important. Oh, young people, listen to your pastor. Listen to your pastor tonight, please. Verse number 13, you want to talk about in the same book, dealing with this matter of wisdom. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Good question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. In other words, it's not what he says about himself. Take a look at his life. Does he live it humbly? And does he live it with wisdom? His works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom, watch this, there's two different kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of God, we're going to get to that, verse 17. But verse 15, talking about a counterfeit wisdom, a fake wisdom. And by the way, this kind of wisdom can be spewed out of the mouth of Christian people. This kind of wisdom can be spewed out of the mouth of pastors' wives and pastors. I hate to say it, but it's true. But how do you know if it's godly wisdom? Well, let's look at what it says here. This wisdom, the wrong kind of wisdom that comes from bitterness and envy and strife in their hearts and someone who's lying against the truth, this kind of wisdom descendeth not from above. That doesn't come from God, but is what? You know, there's a lot of worldly wisdom. You ever think about that term, worldly wisdom? And what's that mean? Earthly wisdom. That's the kind of wisdom you can get down at the, okay, at the catty corner on a Saturday morning. That's the kind of wisdom you get in a lot of barber shops. I've been in there, amen. None of that goes on to the beauty shops because the ladies are better than that. But I'm just saying there are certain places where, you know, sinful men only, sinful men And you know what? They can say something, man, it sounds good. And all of a sudden, if you know a little Bible, you're kind of thinking, wow, that sounded so good, but wait a minute. And the Holy Spirit starts bringing up verses that are teaching, you know. I mean, come on, what's the wisdom of the world? Hey, young people, you know how you find the one God wants for you? You follow your heart. Follow your heart. Yeah, you'll be safe. You'll be good. Now, you know, at first that appeals to our pride. Come on, that appeals to our rebellion. Nobody can know but me what's right for me. You know, I got to follow my heart, Dad. I got to follow my heart, Mom. Okay, you don't know what I know. No, we don't feel what you feel. And we know lots you don't know. Okay, we're not Twitter-pated over an idiot. Okay, sorry, he doesn't impress us. She doesn't impress us. Are you listening? Now, think about that. I'm talking about earthly. When we see earthly, what's the next word? All right, look at verse 15. After earthly is what? All right, folks, you better listen to me. Okay, I'm going to blow the trumpet again here. I feel like John the Baptist sometimes, a voice crying in the wilderness. I'm going to cry in the wilderness till I ain't got a voice. I'm going to cry in the wilderness till they throw dirt on my face. That's fine. But you know what? I don't care what little Johnny come lately decides to come up with a new set of wisdom when it comes to this matter of purity and how to get to a marriage altar pure and clean. If the advice somebody's given that young lady or that young man is leading them to sensuality, don't tell me it came from God. Because it did not. Okay? Because, listen, you know, well, I don't know if I agree with Brother Jerry Ross, the seven royal laws of courtship. Well, then write down what you disagree with. And did I already say this? Bring your Bible verses. Bring your Bible. Your problem isn't you don't agree with me. Your problem is that you're proud and worldly and wicked and impure and sensual. And you'd rather tell kids what they want to hear than what they need to hear. All right? So just follow along. What do you think about this? What's the last word there? Well, if it's earthly and sensual and it didn't come from above, where did it come from? And in case you had any question about it, I think the Bible just told you where it came from. That's coming from the depths of hell. That's come from that old liar and the murderer. And he's destroyed many young men and many young ladies with earthly, worldly, sensual advice. And so again, I don't care whose mouth it's coming out of. I've just listened to the description of it. I don't care what everybody's opinion is about them. I just listen to the description of it. And if you're giving young people earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom and pretending to, pretending to represent God, you better remember there's a judgment day. You better remember there's a judgment day. And so let's compare that. Whoa. All right, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first. And even make sure you understand. First, the first test is this. What? Pure. So young people, you know what? You can read even so-called Christian books and so-called Christian people that are giving you advice about breaking down the barriers that keep you safe and pure during courtship. But you know what? That is earthly, sensual, devilish advice. Yes. So be careful about that, all right? Parents, what I'm saying is this. You know, this matter of turning from godly wisdom towards worldly so-called wisdom, it's really worldly foolishness. We need to watch out for the shadows. Come on, parents, listen, you're the primary. God's given you, the primary responsibility of the direction of your family. Sir, he's given you primary. Ma'am, you're supposed to be a helpmeet to him, to help him in guiding those young people and raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Right. I'm not going to answer for your kids. You're going to answer for your kids. If you'll let me, I can come alongside you. We've done it with a lot of young people around here, help them do it the right way, the godly way. You know, I'll be glad to help you. But you know what? I can't convince them something of some things that you're undermining when you get home. And again, you're going to answer for it. I'm not. But parents, look for the shadows. If you hear your young people begin to say things that don't square with Scripture, you better say this to each other. Who's got their ear? Who are they talking to? Where are they getting this nonsense from? And then shut it down. Amen. Shut it down. Teenagers, come on. I understand with children, but come on, young people. We don't treat you like kids around here. We treat you like young men and young ladies because you are young men and young ladies. And part of maturity is that you've got to begin to start looking for the shadows in your own life. Okay, because those shadows will come out more times than not away from mom and dad, not in the presence of mom and dad. So think about that. Is your wisdom source, now think about where you're getting your wisdom from. Is your wisdom source promoting the world's philosophy or scriptural principles? Is your wisdom source pointing you to sensuality or purity, to fleshliness or godliness? Are they encouraging you to be an exception to biblical teaching or an example of biblical teaching? Are they enforcing the teachings of your parents and pastor, or are they undermining the teachings of your parents and pastor? Are they telling you that the world's ways are fine, or are they warning you that the world's ways lead to woeful consequences? We're talking about this matter of wisdom. Now, let's say it again. God, when it comes to wisdom, there is no variableness. There's not only never a turning from wisdom, there's never a shadow of turning with the Lord. Number two, never let there be a shadow of turning away from godliness towards evil. Never let there be a shadow of turning away from light towards darkness. That's what we read in our text verse, that he's the father of lights. Now look at verse number 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So God is light and right. He's light and righteousness. And that means that you'll never see him turn away from godliness towards evil. You'll never see him turn away from light towards darkness. And you know what he wants us to do is to grow in this matter of godliness and to be ye holy as he is holy. Titus chapter 2. Come on, that's where we get our theme verse from. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteousness, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Wait a minute, that's not it. All of it. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then this admonition. See, the Lord knew that in the end days, preachers would have a hard time preaching on holiness and godliness and against worldliness and ungodliness. And he says at the end of this to a young preacher, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And I want to say to every young preacher who might be listening in, the young preachers in this room, don't you ever back off preaching on these things. Well, we're not going to have as big a church if we preach on these things. Then we won't have as big a church. Okay, but you know what? There's a lot of young people who want to go a different direction. We'll let them go a different direction. They'll answer to God one day for it. But if we're making, listen, they should not only be able to look at the pastor. Listen, I promise you, I already told you I'm not perfect. And you know what? If you already have come up with a list of things that you see in my life as shadows, write them down. Send them to me along with your list of the things you found in your life. And that's what our problem is a lot of time. We're so worried about putting everybody else on the microscope. Good night, you can't see what's right in the mirror in front of you. Now listen to me, folks. I want you to understand this. This matter of, dropping standards, dropping convictions, and turning away from Bible standards of holiness. You say, well, preacher, you're just pretty narrow-minded. I know I've been that way a long time. It took me a long time to get this way. And, man, I've worked too hard on it to give it up now. But I am narrow-minded. I'm about that narrow right there. That's about it right there. That's how narrow-minded I am. Would to God every preacher get that narrow-minded. You know, I hate to say this, Brother Klein, but more and more as I go around the country, you know what? I'm going to camps. I'm preaching the next generation. I get opportunity. I'm preaching more on holiness. I'm preaching more on sanctification. I'm preaching more on separation. I'm preaching more on standards. I see a whole world out there patting themselves on the back for dropping standards. Man alive, somebody's got to blow the trumpet on this. Now, folks, listen to me. Watch this. Stay with me here. More and more Christians, in fact, are dropping standards of separation and holiness. They can't give you Bible verses for it, but they'll give you a bunch of worldly wisdom. There's so much of the world in the church, and so much of the church in the world, in the average church, you can't even tell the difference. Most churches in this area, if you walked in them next Sunday morning, you wouldn't know if you were in a social club on a Saturday night, a bar on a Saturday night, or a church on a Sunday morning. Now think about that. There is no shadow of turning with God. Come on, you can't find a shadow of darkness with him. You can't find a shadow of unfaithfulness. You can't find a shadow of foolishness. You can't find a shadow of worldliness. You can't find a shadow of evil. You can't find a shadow of dishonesty. You can't find a shadow of compromise. We can't find it with God. Then why are we doing that? Think about that. If we are to live godly in this present world, and we better watch out for the shadows. Shadows. I'll be honest with you. I think one of the things that's causing me vexation of spirit happens as I travel the country. I've not gone a lot. Haven't been gone a lot in the last couple of years because of cancer treatments. But I'm going to tell you something. I can't help but worry about the direction of many of our independent fundamental Baptist churches. You say, why, preacher? Watch this. Because I've been doing it for 40 years and I didn't know how to look for the shadows. Just the little things. Just the little drop here, the little drop there, little change here, little change there. Just listen, I always say when somebody makes, not all change is bad. Good night. And I want you all to remember this, okay? Don't kill Brother Nichols when he becomes pastor and the first thing he changes, well, I told you. Let's get in a time machine. Okay, because when I took over from my dad, guess what? I changed some things. Doctrinally, no. Standard-wise, no. Direction, no. But every young guy's got new ideas. Just go like this. Okay, and besides that, good night. I'm old. I'm tired. I got new ideas too, but I ain't got the energy to do them anymore. So, oh, but so I'm not saying every time we change, I'm just saying this, folks. Listen, there's change, and then there's a shadow of turning. There's a new ministry to reach more people for Christ, and there's a shadow of turning. Are you listening to me? Be careful. I mean, you know, it's I'll be honest with you, it's discouraging. Young guys, and I had one of them reach out to me here. It's been several months ago. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Because these, preacher, these aren't big things. Here's what somebody typed me. And he said, I've heard many young preachers are starting to have their church join the Chamber of Commerce. What do you think about that? And he asked this on a group thread with several preachers. Now, I've learned this. If I'm asked a question with a bunch of other preachers, I don't ever answer quick. I just want to see what they say. And you know what? The young ones. Oh, yeah, I've heard guys that's done that, and it's really worked well. Another guy, yeah, we did that, and it really helps us to build connections and relationships. Now, understand, your church joined what? Joined what? Chamber of Commerce. Commerce. I don't care if Brother Jeff's a member of the Chamber of Commerce. He's got a business. This isn't a business. Do you realize you just put your church on the same level as the guy that owns the liquor store? You just told the community there's no difference between us and all of you that are out there to make money. Come on. Well, preacher, I know it's just a shadow. Don't worry about it. Right. Or is it that I need to be accepted more in the community? I need lost people to love. Whatever happened to Jesus saying the world's not going to love you? Right. And by the way, if you're doing the right thing, didn't he say something about you becoming a peculiar people? Right. Well, preacher, I mean, if we do everything that you do at Blessed Old Baptist Church, people are going to think we're weird. We are weird. In a good way. Yes. Come on, teenagers, crazy good and crazy bad. You're going to be one of them. You might as well be crazy good. Amen. You see little things that I'm just hearing, I'm just kind of going, whoa, what? We're doing what? I'm sorry, but you go ahead and join the Chamber of Commerce 10 years down the road, you'll be a member of the Ministerial Association. Because you'll use the same reasoning. Okay? That's why I'm just begging a new generation. Okay, I just feel like there's too much pride. There's too much, well, you know, we're just a lot smarter than mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. And that old group, you know, those old preachers, you know, they just started to criticize. I don't know. I just wasn't raised that way. When I went off to sit under the feet of great men and learn from them, I didn't go there so I could sit back with a notebook and find things I didn't agree with them. I went there to sit down, shut up, and learn what they've taken a whole lifetime to learn. And by the way, if a lot of the old preachers aren't doing something, you might just want to take a step back and think about why they're not. Okay, think about this. I mean, I'll just share some things that you don't know, and you don't have to know, but I'll open the door a little bit. There's places that I would go preach 20 years ago. I don't go anymore. Okay, there's men that I used to preach at their church. I won't preach at their church anymore. Why? Too many shadows. Too many shadows. And by the way, the shadows that I saw 10 years ago when I disassociated with them, brother, now they've turned. But I can't wait till somebody turns. You don't look right up here. You know what? I've spent 40 years establishing a testimony and a reputation. And a lot of these guys that want Jerry, I'm just going to tell you the truth, okay? And I'm not a big shot, but I'm going to tell you, nobody in this country doubts where Jerry Ross stands, okay? And a lot of these guys want to invite me to come on the platform. I call it because they want their token separatist fundamentalist on the program. I'm not interested in being the token fundamentalist And the minute I'm on that, then they know people like me will be more prone to come to that, and then all the other speakers can influence. I'm not going to be a part of that. Okay? There's some places I'm preaching right now that I may not be preaching in a year. Please listen to this, okay? I just want you to get it. There, when I came here, okay, I'm going to name a couple things. You like it when I name stuff, right? When I first came here, come on, Jack and Penny knows. And I became the youth pastor here. They came alongside, helped me. You know where we were taking our teens? Bill Rice Ranch. That's where we took them to camp. Do you think Bill Rice Ranch preaches the gospel? Have no doubt about it. Think there's good people down there? Good people down there. But you know what? After about 4 years, 3 or 4 years ago, and I come into office and sit down with Dad and said, too many shadows. Dad, I'll go wherever you want us to go, but I want to tell you what I'm seeing. I'm sick and tired of camp saying in their printed material, this is the rules. But when you go down there, that's not the rules. And, you know, you can look up their webpage, and most of you will, especially you nosy ones. You'll go on, and you can look at the pictures they post, and you can see girls running around in shorts. Remember when we first started noticing the Nike shorts? We called them Nike shorts. What do you mean, preacher? Well, some of the girls knew that they were supposed to be wearing culottes, but instead of wearing culottes, they just wear the Nike shorts that were real. But they weren't culottes, they were shorts, and they began to wink, wink, wink. I can tell you about camps that we've gone to more recently than this. Well, I wonder why we don't go to that camp anymore, because your preacher is wise enough to see the shadows. I wish some of the young preachers we've trained up here would have enough sense to say, you know, if Brother Jerry quit going to that camp, there might be a reason. Maybe their young people wouldn't be going the wrong direction. Okay, listen. Well, they haven't turned. Okay, I get it. But the shadow of turning always happens before the turning. And so what I do is when I see the shadows, and I go, listen, I don't talk about people. I don't go around the country blasting them. I do what the Bible says, and I'll go to the leader, and I'll go to the man in charge, and I'll say, okay, this is what I'm seeing. Is this where you're turning? Well, preacher, you know, some of the... No, I don't want to hear 50 excuses. I just want to know. Because I tell our young people this, and they read in the materials this, and then when we come, I'm just asking you, is this the way it is, or is this not the way it is? It's getting harder and harder, Brother Jeff. And I'm doing right, and you're right for amen in me. But, brother, I'm going to tell you what. You'd be surprised how many churches just started their own camp, because after a while, it's just a joke out there. Now, we still got some good camps that we can go to. And would you rather go to somebody else's camp or start a camp? Are you insane? I don't care what they charge us. Pay it! You know what a church camp is? A big black hole where you throw a bunch of money in. That's what it is. I know it's not easy, but wait a minute. The money's why some of them's compromising. Well, if I really took a stand on this, I'd lose this big church. Lose them. Lose them. Lose them. Oh, I guess God can't take care of you unless you keep a bunch of backsliders and compromisers happy. All right. So I want you to get this, folks. I want you to get this. And it hurts. I build relationships at these places. Some of these people are my... Listen, I'm so tired of having to sit down and write a letter to somebody. And I don't think I'm the police of fundamentalism. And listen, if it doesn't affect Blessed Hope, then it's none of my business. But some of these things, the only time I write a letter, pick up the phone, is if it's affecting my church. If it's affecting my church, okay? I mean, you know, I'm watching music ministries compromise. That's never compromised. What are we doing here? Where are we going? Well, it's not a big deal. It's a shadow. Shadow. Too many pulpits are going quiet on biblical standards, dress standards, biblical dress standards. Here's what a lot of preachers will tell you. They'll flat tell you this when you nail them down. Well, preacher, you don't understand. We live it, we believe it, and my wife does it, and our kids do it, but you know what? I just feel like that ship has sailed, and we can't preach it, or I don't preach it or teach it. We just kind of get out of the ministry.
Yeah.
Compromiser, get out of the ministry. Okay? Think about this. What do you mean? That's how we got to where we are with the transgender situation. Because preachers, come on, I blame the preachers for I blame the queers.
Good.
I'll blame preachers for I'll blame the queers.
Good.
When we got quiet in the pulpit about it,
yeah.
And you know what? The world felt like it had a permission slip from Christianity.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Too many independent fundamental Baptist churches are remodeling their platforms to look like nightclub stages. Again, I had a young preacher. They moved their church from one location to the other and redone it. He wanted me to come see it. I was going to be down there, so I walked around. Man, he had it all lit up when I come in there. And, dark in the auditorium, light on the stage. And then I walked around because there was these, like, pink and purple and lavender lights shooting up from the floor all along the back of both sides. So I just walk on a platform and go. You ever seen that kid? He's nervous as can be. Now, okay, I was a kid in the 1960s. You know what I thought? Bat signal. Come on. The bat signal. I love some of the kids don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I mean, when the commissioner needed Batman, he turned on the bat light and it shone up in the sky. And then Batman would look and see it and run in his spandex and underwear into the... Okay, we were still American Baptists. Give me a break, okay? We were finding our way and jump in the car with Robin and go save the day. And I thought, you know what? Maybe that's what these are. You know, we're about to have services. We better let God know. God looks down. Pink, lavender, purple. Holy Spirit, go, go. They're about to have church. The Holy Spirit says, there's nothing I want to be a part of down there. What are we doing? By the way, where'd you get that? Did you get that from Lee Robertson, Highland Park Baptist Church? You get that from My Hero's Generation? No, you got it from a bunch of evangelicals. You know why? Because you're heading the same direction as the evangelical. I see the shadow. We haven't changed Bibles. Well, you haven't yet. We haven't changed our music. You haven't yet. By the way, most of the time they have by then. Okay, so I got to thinking if that works. I'm gonna get my tool belt. I'm going to tape flashlights around it, pink and lavender, and that way when I go soul winning, I'll just, and God will go, woo, there's the God signal. Jerry Ross is going soul winning, go. You say, preacher, that's foolish. Well, you think I'm being foolish. I didn't install the lights. What are we doing? See, a lot of the things that people, well, you old timers just, you know, don't worry, we'll be dead soon. No, seriously, my generation will be dead soon, and a lot of young preachers are going to be glad when we are. But I got a little surprise for them. We've trained a bunch of young preachers to think like we think and to read the Bible like we read the Bible and to say, I'm not perfect, but you know what? As much as I can, I'm not going to let anybody even see a shadow of turning in my life. Think about that. What in the world are we doing? You know, I had to write a letter to a Baptist camp here in the state, 10 years ago, changed hands. I knew where it was going as soon as I seen who got it. And you know, next thing you know, here comes the letter out, came to my mailbox. Now I want you to understand, by the way, I want you to listen to this because they can spiritualize compromise, they can spiritualize backsliding. Well, I want you to understand that we're going to change the dress standards here at our Christian camp. And because we just have such a burden to reach bus kids for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, because you know, you'd be surprised how many Christians fall for this nonsense because they don't have godly wisdom. They don't understand shadows. And so he went on for a whole paragraph how they had such a burden to see bus kids come and bus kids be saved. And you know what? Some of those kids aren't there yet. So we need to create at least some of the weeks where we don't have the same standards. So I sat down and wrote the guy a letter. And I said, this might come as a complete shock to you, but I don't need your camp to get our bus kids saved. What is this? What everybody's doing? They run bus for an entire year, never share the gospel. And then they round up all these lost bus kids and take them to this camp where they're gloriously saved. If a church is doing what it's supposed to be doing, excuse me, in Sunday school class and in children's church and in junior church and in fifth and sixth grade church, we're preaching the gospel. I think we know how to get our own bus kids to Christ. I don't need that. You know what I need? A place to take those bus kids for a week. They can know what it is to dress like a Christian and live like a Christian and get a taste of that. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. This used to be standard procedure. And a little girl named Heather Wilfong, she could come and she could give you this testimony. And she came and she had gotten saved and she was kind of in and out and in and out. And finally we got her to go to church camp and she went to church camp and heard preaching on separation at church camp. I was just at a church camp not that long ago. Don't forget where I'm going, Heather. Preached a sermon, a biblical sermon, kind biblical sermon on dress. And had two or three of the workers at the camp come up to me, tears running down their face. We haven't heard a verse on or a sermon on separation for 10 years at this camp. Well, if they asked Jerry Ross to come, they're going to hear it. You say, well, you won't get invited back. Boy, that'd break my heart to have to spend another week at home. I mean, that just tear me up. What are you talking about? I kind of came up with this plan. I'm going to start preaching harder and more on separation and more on everything that everybody's compromising. And then they won't ask me anymore to go anywhere. And every time I do that, somebody comes to me and says, would you come preach at our church? We haven't heard that for years. It's working against me. So I'm going to go back to compromising. I'm getting tired. I can't keep doing this, man. But you know what? She went to church camp, and in 1 week, her life was changed. She came home. She sat down with her mama, her sweet mama, and she said to her mama, I know you're probably not going to understand. Come on, you know their parents. And they were coming to church, but not faithfully. They were saved, but... And she sat down and said, Mama, I know you might not understand this, but God's dealt with my heart on this issue. And another thing I want to talk to you about is my dress. And I just feel like it would honor the Lord if I dressed more this way. And by the way, God bless Teresa. She told me this herself. Teresa did later. She said, I said, did Heather talk to you about this? She said, yeah. I said, what'd you say to her? And she said, I told her, well, I wouldn't dress like that. But honey, if you will, your mama will support you in it. If you say it's from God, I'll support you in that. You know, that's not a person that's on board, but you know what? They saw God doing something in their kid. We used to take our bus kids to camp so that they'd learn how to have standards. Now we're taking our bus kids to camp to teach them that we no longer have standards. Come on, what are we doing? Where'd that start, preacher? Shadows. Why don't you go to Indian Creek Baptist Camp anymore? I'm just going to name some Shadows. Why don't you go to Bill Rice for Shadows? Well, they hadn't flipped when you stopped coming now, but you've got a preacher. By the way, yeah, my parents want to trust your pastor. Amen. I wish I'd get some young preachers start trusting their pastor again. I can see some things they're not seeing.
Yes.
Some of them are scaring me.
Come on.
Never let there be a shadow of turning away from the truths of God's word towards the lies of the devil. What kind of church should I attend, preacher? A Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Stand where the Bible stands. Young preacher, stand where the Bible stands. Wherever it stands, that's where I'm standing. Whatever it says, that's what I'm preaching. Young people, we've spent 20, we've sent, and I figured this up because I want to make sure I'm saying accurate, but we've sent 25 young people over the history of this church out into full-time work, and there's 20 of them that are still in the work. Some of them are out for various reasons, but there's 20 of them still in the work. This place is run by young people that grew up here. And I was at the Navajo Indian Reservation. They had a question and answer time. One of the Navajo preachers raised his hand and said, "Preacher, you know, what do you do with your young people? What do you do?" And, okay, we developed a biblical philosophy. Parents, please listen to me. If you got kids and you haven't read The Childhood Years of Jesus Christ, I can't teach it every year. Pick up a book and read. If you've got teenagers and you haven't read The Teenagers of Jesus Christ, pick up a book and read. Okay, if you got young people and they're starting to get Twitter-pated with other young people and they come home and talk, get the Seven Royal Laws of Courtship. Sit down and read to them the seven Stay in the Castle book series. I'll tell you what, and listen, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I believe this book works if we'll implement it. Okay, you want to criticize it and fuss against it, and that's all your kids hear, then you know what? They probably aren't going to make it, and they're probably not going to marry in God's will. But I'll tell you, Terry Angel, and I've heard this more than one preacher, Brother Angel is so well respected, and he said in front of a crowd when we were preaching together, Jerry Ross right back there has had more to do with young people and fundamentalism marrying in God's perfect will than any other man breathing. Amen. Well, if that's true across fundamentalism, wonder why I can't get our own kids sometimes to listen to me. Okay? Because the second most important decision in your life is still who you marry. You better make sure you get it right. And there's biblical principles that help you. And I've never seen anybody follow the biblical principles that don't end up in a good place. And I've never seen anybody willingly walk across the top of them that didn't end up out of God's will in this area of their life. So anyway, we got some young people dating now, and they just love it when I preach on this. So Nathaniel and Ella, thank you. Don't worry about those that want to be the exception. Let no man despise thy youth. You know how you keep them from despising your youth? But be thou an example. So young people that are always trying to be the exception end up in trouble. Young people that go on this thing saying, you know what? Yeah, we really like each other. So do you love him? Okay, and you love her? And you've told each other that? You want to do it again right now? That's so wrong. So wrong. That was a shadow of turning right there. We've got kids that are listening. We are got kids that, you know what, they love each other as much as anybody else loves each other at that stage of life. I guarantee you, if you ask her, she could probably tell you the number of days to the wedding. Okay, but you know what? She's got little brothers and sisters. And Nathaniel's got a lot of young men in his church that look up to him. Yes. And he's got a mom and dad that's taught him right. Amen. And he knows he's representing more than his lusts. Amen. So thank you. Yes. Thank you. There's young Jonathan, you guys behaving? All right, scoot over a little, Bella. This way. Come on, Bella. Scoot over. Wouldn't you love to court in this church with this pastor? Just do it right. Just do it right. Man, I don't get it right. Again, I'm serious about this. There's probably things maybe you see, and you wouldn't hurt my heart or my feelings. I don't want there to be a shadow. I don't. I take the decisions I make seriously. I take the stands I make very seriously. I don't want to cause any kid to get off the track. I don't want anybody to wander off. I don't understand. A bunch of young know-it-alls just decided their generation knows more than the old men. I'm sorry, but you know what? Kids are made out of the same old flesh that we were made out of.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You can sit there and spin whatever yarn you want to spin and pretend whatever you want to pretend. But I was born at night, but not last night. So, man alive. Thank you, God, that there's no variableness. The whole world's going crazy, but I can look up and say, there's no variableness. He'll never turn. By the way, you won't even see a shadow of turning. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Wake us up. Salvage some young people. Help some parents, Lord, I believe, that are trying to do the right thing. But I know the pressure that the family puts on, the world puts on, the society puts on, the culture puts on. Help young people not to push back on mom and dad. Help them to spend their youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. More worried about being an example than an exception. Or I pray, dear God, that you'd help these young ladies, many of them over here to my left, others scattered around, help them to marry in the will of God, help them to do right. Help these young men to do right, marry in the will of God. Help us, dear God. The world pecks away at all of us. It's easy to slide. Lord, help our dads, Lord. You say if any man lack wisdom, we all do. Just get on their knees and say, God, give me the wisdom that I need just to look in my home and not in a mean spirit, not in a mean spirit. Just help me to see the shadows and be able to help where I need to help. Change what I need to change. Help our ladies, dear God. Help the children, help the teenagers, help the grandparents. Grandparents are important. And if the senior saints, if the elders of our church won't set the right example for our kids, then good night. What are we doing? Bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.